Good morning. I have some good news for you. Your life is more than what you do. Your life is more than what you do. In the very early years of his pontificate, when John Paul II was still young and full of vigor, a journalist asked him in an interview, "Holy Father, what do you do in your free time?" Remember, John Paul II, he was a very active pope, very active. He traveled internationally more than any pope in history before or after. His days were filled with meetings, events. He wrote, it seemed like an encyclical every 5 months or something like that. But he was very, very active. And so when the journalist asked, "Holy Father, what do you do in your free time?" The Pope's response is he smiled at the journalist and he said, "All my time is free." What do you think he meant by that? What do you think he meant by that? Like, was he just being tongue-in-cheek as a response to the reporter? Being like, "Really? You're asking me with all my free time, what do I do with it?" Was he just being a little sarcastic? Or was he getting at something of a much deeper truth? Consider Martha and Mary, remembering these two sisters and their brother Lazarus. They're some of the dearest friends of Jesus. These are dear, dear friends of his. He comes to their house, and first Martha. She's fragmented. Her life is fragmented. She works, and she works hard. She's driven. But her anxieties and her worries, they push her because, you know, there's so much to do. There's so much to do, and there's such little time. She hits a point where she's exhausted. Her patience is fried. She's drained. And when she crashes hard. But even then, the rest of sleep doesn't come easy. She prays, and she prays hard. And she tells Jesus, as we hear, all the things she's doing, how she's drowning in her work and she seems alone in it. No one helping her. Not even, it seems, Jesus when she brings this to him. It becomes this vicious cycle where there's none of her time that feels free at all. It's all consumed. Everything is a struggle. Everything in her time is this battle. And it's all consuming. But you know what? For Martha, this is normal. This is normal. This is what life is. Her sister, Mary of Bethany, she shows a different way. She chooses the better part. She receives from Jesus first. And having received from him, that is what overflows into all of the rest. All of her work, her leisure, her prayer, it flows into all the rest of her life so that her life isn't just broken into these little fragments of here's what I do in my free time, here's what I do in my work time, here's what I do in this time, but instead, it's integrated as a whole because she, first of all, she receives from Jesus and she receives freely. And having received, she's then able to give freely as well to God and all the rest, giving to those who are in need of her. She's able to receive freely first, and she's able then to serve freely too. All my time is free. Martha should hear that as ridiculous because there's something in her that's a slave. But Jesus loves her. Jesus loves her. This is his friend. and he calls her to something better. It's not normal. Even you hear about it and you're like, okay, this, yeah, all my time is free. That doesn't sound like it makes any sense and it's just not realistic. Remember, the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, what were they? They were slaves. This is all they knew. And they weren't just in Egypt for a couple years. They were in Egypt for generations, generations and generations. That's all they knew. When the Lord came and brought them out of Egypt, nothing really changed within them. What was normal to them? It's not like they came out and like, ooh, we're free. No, they were still slaves. It's what was normal to them. The Lord had to teach them what it meant to be free. He had to teach them what it meant to actually rest in Him. So the Lord brought them out of Egypt. And remember, when Moses was sent by God, he told the Pharaoh, let my people go first of all so that we might go and worship the Lord in the desert. They were called into freedom to be able to worship God and to be able to rest in Him, that they were not slaves. And he had to teach them, because God loved His people, he taught them that you're not slaves. And he commanded them, as God rested on the seventh day after he created everything, right? The first day he creates light, all the way through 6 days, and on the last day, he rests. As God rested on that last day, so you are to rest as well, commanding them in the third commandment to do so, to teach them what it means to be free. But Jesus, he takes that last day of rest, and on the day of resurrection, he takes it and he makes it the very first day. So that as what used to be Sunday, the day of the creation of light, God created light so that it could suffuse everything. And that light gives life to everything. Now, the resurrection and the rest that we are asked to receive on that day suffuses all the rest of the week. That we receive that from God on Sunday, the first day of the week, so that it can suffuse all the rest of it. That Sunday was a gift that God had given to his people. It was a gift so that they might receive from him and then be able to give freely. And it's a day, Sunday is, that the Lord points us toward the eternal things. So we're not just focused on the things that are passing, the temporal things. The temporal things that are important, but they're our work, they're our projects. Instead, it's focusing our eyes on the things that are eternal, on God, on family, on rest in Him. Jesus also took the last, the day of rest, and he made it the first. Because rest isn't just something we need after a long week of work. Rest is what we were made for. It's what you were created for. You were created for rest. It's why we call it eternal rest with God. Which isn't just sleeping with him. It's eternal rest. It's something in which we're receiving from him. That you were created before everything else. You were created, first of all, to receive love from God. Before all the rest, that's the reason you were created. To receive love from God. And that requires trust and faith. Think of the very beginnings of a human life. All of you, I imagine, have held a little baby when it's just teeny, right? At the very beginnings of life, that little baby can't do anything. All it can do is receive. But what's one of the first things it has to learn? What does this child have to learn? if you've held it and it's just restless and squirming around and crying, there's something that's both tender and sacred about seeing that child surrender to sleep, to rest, to be able to rest in your arms. And it's there that it's able to receive love in trust and in faith. And this is what the Lord, he teaches us through this gift of the Lord's Day, of Sunday. Sunday is the day of worship and also of rest and leisure. Let me share you something personal that I hope just highlights this a little bit. Sundays at the Shea home, every Sunday morning we were really good at the first part. We would go to church every Sunday, we worship God. About 90 seconds before Mass began, the whole Shea family came into the church, right up to the third pew, and we shuffled in there, knelt down for 5 seconds before the bell rang, and we started Mass. We were great with that. We'd go to Mass every Sunday. We'd come home. It was a day in which we'd have breakfast. We would get a whole half piece of bacon, and Mom would make, you know, one of those little concentrated things of orange juice. She would take and make 70 gallons from that. It was like orange juice essenced water. The very first time I had like real orange juice and drank it, I was like, ugh, it's so strong, because this is just what you know. But we'd have breakfast after going to Mass, and then the war began. Then the battle started, because we were on the farm. And Dad would get really anxious and restless because there's always so much that had to be done. And he's got his kids home all for the rest of the day. It's only 10 a.m. And so Sunday, the rest of it, became for Dad this day in which we got all this work to do and we're going to get out and do it. And we resisted in all sorts of creative ways. You ask me personally, I'll tell you some of them, but not here. We resisted, but you know, there's only so much you can do because your kids on the farm, your slaves, what recourse do you have? Mom, though, she was a prophet, because she told Dad. She's like, every time we work on Sunday, you know what happens? We break down, and we have the biggest breakdowns on Sunday, and then it just ruins pretty much the whole rest of the week. So what do you gain? Didn't matter. We'd go out and we'd work. The baler would break down. The combine would be shot for the rest of the week. But this was our Sunday, and it was the big battle of it. Dad, since, he apologized to us kids. He said, you know, I overdid it on Sunday. I overdid it. It was his way of apologizing. But my brother, who's on the farm and took over the farm, one of my older brothers, I really admire him, because he took and he reclaimed Sunday on the farm. And so he's got all his little kids and stuff. And Sundays, during the summer, they'll spend it. They'll set up a volleyball net out in the yard. They'll play that. They'll saddle up the horses and just go horseback riding throughout the day. In the winter, they'll play board games, maybe watch in the evening a movie. Because Sundays are meant to be a day to worship God and to be with family and rest. Leisure. Leisure, which is something different from just entertainment or just plopping on the couch and vegging for hours. Leisure is something in which I'm not sort of just disconnecting my mind and body, but leisure engages the whole person. A leisure in which one is able to really become restful and rejuvenated, as opposed to something that drains the soul. And instead of going through some sort of list, I can just tell you from years of research what leisure is not. It's not binging on things. Binging on hours of Netflix, or sitting and watching 9 hours of football on Sunday. And the key word is binging. It's not like, okay, I'll watch my team, and that's moderation, but then just where it becomes just endless. There's nothing rejuvenating about that. Or social media, or whatever it might be. But leisure is something that rejuvenates the soul, and you've experienced that which does that. It engages the whole person. John Paul II, what he loved to do for leisure is he loved to ski. He loved to go out into nature and hike. He loved sitting with his friends and just entering into deep conversation. Not talking about work stuff or what, entering into deep conversation about life. He loved reading, creative writing. Things rejuvenate the soul and bring rest. Your life, everyone, is more than what you do. You're not a slave, and you weren't created to be a slave. That's not normal. There's a better way, a better part, and it's found first in resting and receiving from the Lord. Sunday is a gift. Redeem your Sunday as a gift from the Lord.